from the American Idol Experience stage at Disney's Hollywood Studio. This is American Idol. And then the music comes up and the crowd cheers and everything, but, well, we don't have rights to that, so. Okay, that's one way. Or maybe I could say something like, from a makeshift studio in Southwest Airlines corporate headquarters, you're not listening to American Idol.
Well, no, I like the makeshift studio at Southwest Airlines corporate headquarters. This is Red Belly Radio. So then you get the build up, and you got to do the this, pause for like...
From a makeshift studio in Southwest Airlines corporate headquarters, this is Red Belly Radio.
Okay. Perfect.
Now, one of these statements is obviously more accurate than the other. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. I am actually here back in Dallas, but still giddy from my wonderful trip to the debut of the American Idol Experience at the Disney Hollywood Studios. And if you didn't realize it, that's the theme park formerly known as Disney MGM Studios. Now, with me in this makeshift studio today is fellow American Idol fan Jim Halsum from our technology department. Jim, welcome to Red Belly Radio.
Thanks, Steve.
Now, I invited Jim today because Jim and I used to work together a lot more emails and a lot more stuff would bounce around. And I have sort of changed jobs and I kind of quit communicating with him quite as much. And I got an email from him, I guess it was last American Idol season. He said something about American Idol, and I questioned back, "What? You like American Idol?"
Why, yes, I do.
Well, you know, if you listener were to see Jim, you would put him in your top 10 list of people who probably wouldn't like American Idol. Fair?
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair statement.
Do you like the?
I watch American Idol, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
And you're not a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, actually, one of the latest Nielsen polls shows that the average age of American Idol viewer is 40.3 years old.
40.3.
Yep.
Wow. Anyway, Jim is an enigma wrapped in a riddle, gruff but lovable, and he knows his American Idol, so that's why I brought him in today. Now, you may not know this. I certainly didn't before I was asked to go. But every February, Disney hosts media from like around the country. And the idea is that people around the country, the world, are right now, they're planning their summer vacations. So Disney invites all these media in to see their newest and latest and greatest, either whether it's their ride or whatever. This year, it was the American Idol Experience. And I was asked to go. My boss had no idea I was a big American Idol fan, and she's like, "Can you go do this thing at Disney?" He's like, "Oh, okay." So, you know, probably the main reason Southwest goes is because we're a partner with Disney. So while people are talking about planning their summer vacations, we encourage them to book on Southwest Airlines while they're doing it. So somebody was there from public relations. We had one of our superstar flight attendants, Bruce Campbell. I don't know if you've probably seen Bruce, Jim. He does a bunch of imitations, and he's quite the comedian. But he was being interviewed on the Daily Buzz. You ever seen the show?
Yes, I have.
That's my point. National media is here at this thing. The Daily Buzz was there. They were interviewing him, and while this was going on, there was a big room full of radio people all around the country, and they were doing interviews with people from Disney and whatnot. And there was one guy who caught my attention.
There's all sorts of radio and media here at the Resort Showcase, but one of the companies that has caught my eye is the iHome. You make products that deal with the iPod. Welcome to Red Belly Radio, Evan.
Thank you very much.
Now, I'm noticing some of the products you have here. If you could, well, I guess for the listener, if you're not familiar with the iHome brand name, you're probably familiar with their products if you've been to a hotel recently. I'm seeing these in a lot of hotels nowadays.
You are indeed. We are placing our clock radio in hotels and giving guests some extra special attention.
I admit, I was actually a person that would travel with some small speakers, and I do have one of your products that I would take. It's a little more effort, but it was worth it for me because I always wanted to hear my, my podcasts, of course, but also music. But the iHome, it has a clock radio, and you can put your iPod right into it. But you've got something smaller over here. Tell us about this little jewel.
This is our model number 77, and it's capsule speakers, which are rechargeable. We call it sound beyond size because the sound is absolutely phenomenal.
Each one is a little bit bigger than a golf ball, and they hook together and go in a little bag. So you're saying I would sound better coming off these speakers on my podcast?
I don't think it's possible for you to sound any better. These are great. I mean, we've got a pretty large line. You're just seeing, you're not seeing anything on the people who are listening to my voice. But we got a large line of accessories, everything from clock radios to iHome to go units to the more less portable clock radios and plugins.
And what's the best place for people to see your products?
I would go to iHomeAudio.com. We're available at almost every major retailer, including Apple, Best Buy, and Walmart, and many, many others.
Well, Jim, American Idol has become just an absolute juggernaut of American TV. In fact, probably other countries as well. I think we distribute a lot of our TV around the world.
Yeah, actually, American Idol's broadcast in a lot of different countries. Like, it's broadcast in the UK, it's broadcast in Australia, pretty much all the main or the bigger countries around the world.
Well, in fact, just those two examples, UK and Australia, don't they have their own?
Yeah, actually,
Idol?
They do.
Obviously, they don't call it American Idol.
But. Yeah, well, they have Australian Idol, and there's Canadian Idol, there's Singapore Idol. And also in the UK, they have X Factor, which is a variant of American Idol. It's actually supplanted Pop Idol, which is the show that started the whole series.
Yeah, Pop, that's kind of a term. That's a British term. They don't have like a Billboard Top 10. They call it Top of the Pops.
Right.
So that's just sort of a British expression. I don't know if all of the shows are really owned by Simon, the Simon that owns the show, or if some of them are like
Oh, fakes. Simon Fuller. It's
Fuller,
actually
yeah.
Fremantle and Media 19, I believe, that own the series.
But you know what? If you want that American Idol experience, you can go wait in line. You can go try to audition and possibly get in to see the judges. And probably odds are you won't get on that stage. Or you can go to the American Idol experience.
There we go. That sounds like better odds.
Yeah, in fact, the odds are considerably better. And I have an interview with the producers of this show in just a minute here. But first, I was going to tell my little American Idol story. I did a blog already back on February 12th. As it works out, I won a contest.
Ooh.
I did. I won a contest naming the new Wolfgang Puck restaurant in Dallas, Texas.
That's
so
pretty awesome.
I know. It was cool. And so I got invited to this party. And I'm getting ready to go, in fact. I look up, and who comes walking in? Jason Castro.
Wow.
Well, in fact, it was the whole Castro family. It had the younger brother with the...
Now, he was just on this season, right?
That's right. And
yeah.
at the time, at that very day, he was still in Hollywood, you know, on the show. He was in Dallas, but
right,
on the
right,
show,
right,
he was in Hollywood. And he had... I didn't know it, and I didn't want to say anything to him because I went home that night and he had gotten cut. So I was glad I didn't say anything to the guy. Real nice guy. He just took up singing, though. After his brother's success, he took up singing and has done pretty well with it, I think, up to this point.
Yeah, he made it up to the Hollywood weeks.
And he made it past several rounds within Hollywood. So, what was funny, so I said, you know, I mean, what do you say to Jason Castro? You know, it's like, I'm 20 years older than he is.
Right, right.
You know what? I don't have much in common with him. My hair is considerably shorter. And so I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to that American Idol experience thing tomorrow. And he goes, really? So am I.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, all of a sudden we're new BFFs and we're going to be hanging out in Disney. Wow. Didn't work out that way, but that was cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Now, the night of the event. You want to talk about the event?
Yeah, so how did the event go there?
Well, it started off, there's actually a parade. They had, you know, the Emmys or Oscars, the award shows, they have the red carpet.
Right.
Well, they had a blue carpet.
Ooh.
It wasn't just any color blue, it was American Idol blue. And it went all the way down the main street of the Disney Hollywood Studios theme park, the big park, all the way down. And they had one by one American Idols. They had, Paula was there, not all the judges. And it was all the winners of American Idols, and plus some of the other top 10 finishers over the past, what is it, seven?
Eight.
Well, this is the eight.
Seven,
this is the
right,
eight seasons.
Right, right.
So over the past seven seasons.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty awesome. That's hard to get them all in one place.
Well, in fact, it was the first time during the show. I'll get to that in a minute. But during the show, that was the first time they had all been together in one place. And in fact, I've got a little audio from this is when David Cook came through. David Cook, of course, won last season's American Idol last year, beating out David Archuleta.
Now, I don't know about you, but I had actually picked Archuleta to win, and I based that mostly on my 13-year-old daughter.
Nope, I had
Cook. Who was 12 at the time.
Actually, I didn't have Cook. I'm trying to think. I had Carly Smithson.
She was there. She was there. Now, most of the idols that the non-winning idols that were there, the top tens, they were really just in the audience, and they were doing autographs, and they did some interviews and stuff the next day.
So then did all the winners go up and perform?
No. The way the theater works, they had a theater. They built this theme park, and they had a TV production studio in there.
Oh, so it's like being at the set?
Yeah, but they had done very little with this theater for years. They did some ESPN show like twice a week. People could come in and watch. They did, just shows here and there as they needed fit.
Oh, so the theater had been there for a number of years?
But they've now remodeled it, and they spent a bajillion dollars on it. It looks so real. It looks so good. They've got that big screen behind them.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That the cameras, there's the guys that jump up on stage and run around the people with those cameras.
Oh, with the mic booms and the cameras?
Well, yeah, they've got all sorts of stuff. And then they got video monitors on the other side. The only thing that is kind of fake is that it's actually karaoke. They put the words on the back of the theater.
Oh.
Now, I asked the guy, in fact, I've got an interview here with the producers. I asked the guy about that, and he said that they wanted to make it the whole idea of it is it's the American Idol experience. So you can go to the theme park and audition and try to be one of the people that sings that day, or you can go to the audience and sit in the audience and experience it that way.
Oh, wow. So you can do it from two different ways.
Do it two different angles. And in fact, let me play that. We can learn a little bit about just the way the system works.
I'm with Kendall and Jeff, and you two are the producers of this show. Now, does that mean you're the ones actually sitting there listening to people sing?
That is correct. Every day, up to 400 park guests will be invited to audition for us at the audition facility for the American Idol experience. They come into the facility, they'll sing for 30 seconds a cappella, any song of their choice, no original material, and the casting director will make a decision as to whether they think that they are at the level that we're looking at for our stage show. Those guests at that point would move down to the Coke Lounge, where we have iPod technology, where they could try out one of the 113 tracks that we have, the pre-approved songs that are performed in our show. They learn one of those songs, and then they come in and sing it for one of the casting producers. We make the decision, the final decision, as who gets on the American Idol Experience stage to sing for our park guest.
If somebody wanted to participate in this, is there a line? How do you get to be one of those to begin with?
Our guests have two ways they can do that. The first way is by signing up online at our Walt Disney World website. We give away what is called a callback card. That callback card ensures an audition with one of our casting directors. Or they can show up in person. We'll be more than happy to host their audition live when they're walking around the park here at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
They can't bring an instrument.
We don't need that.
That was added in American Idol in recent years.
Yes, and it's been successful for them, but it's something we don't feel that we need. The instrument we feel they need is their voice.
To make it to our stage, you need to be a great vocalist, a great performer, a really fun, interesting personality, somebody that the audience is going to be able to connect to, because ultimately the audience decides who moves on in our process. So the audience has got to love you. They've got to fall in love with you and buy into you. And so you've got to be two of those three things, a great singer, a great performer, a really fun, interesting person.
Now, back to the iPod. When they're given the iPod, is there an instrumental version and a list of the lyrics so they can learn it?
Absolutely. On the iPod, there are two versions. There's a version with vocals so they can hear what our 90-second edit is. And on the video screen of the iPod, the lyrics scroll up so that they are able to follow along with the music. And then before they come in to see the producer, though, they should also rehearse the no-vocal version. So it's just the instrumental soundtrack so that they know what that's going to be like as well.
The great thing for our guests is that it will never be about memorization. So what Kendall mentioned, we'll stay with them throughout their journey, whether it's performing for us with words on our TV screen in our room or even at the back of the theater. And what we love about that is it lets our guests have a greater confidence in their performance. So it's one of those things that gives them the confidence they they need to give us a successful show.
So you don't bust them on forgetting the lyrics quite as badly as they do on the TV show.
That's a technique they use in the show, but we do not use that same technique for us. Yep.
Oh, wow. That's kind of neat. I'm wondering, so is this a way to actually get on the real show?
Well, exactly. The at the end of the year, it probably depends on the day of the week, but they do like five shows throughout the day, and each one has between three and I think five singers on it. The audience votes.
Right.
They vote, you know, one through three or whatever, and then the winner of individual shows comes back for prime time, and then that evening's show, the winner of that one gets a go to the head of the line ticket.
Okay.
For any real American Idol audition. So this is all really, right now, it's all for the 2010 season.
So it's kind of a way to fast track to the beginning of the line?
It is a fast track, but they've got a couple of measures in place because this is not American Idol. It's the American Idol experience. Right. So, for instance, the guy who won... well, why don't I just play that interview? You can hear. I talked to this guy. He sang Very Superstitious, the old Stevie Wonder song, and here it goes. Hey, Mark.
Hey,
Steve from yesterday.
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you again. Congratulations on the win yesterday, first American Idol Experience winner.
Indeed, thanks.
And I heard that you were giving your winning ticket to someone else. Is that right?
That's the rumor.
Or you're considering it.
No, that's the rumor. Yeah, oh, no, okay. I will. That's true, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it to Elena because, you know, she came in second.
Are you too old?
I'm too old.
We'll use this part.
Yeah, I'm 36.
Oh, so you got to be, what, 20?
30.
30?
30 is the cutoff. Yeah.
I was going to say 28.
But... Yeah, but I came for the exposure, so.
Well, congratulations. It was a great show last night. Really enjoyed it. And
thank you.
I think it's going to be a success.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great show. You know, if anybody that has the desire to sing ought to come down here and do this because, I mean, they're picking, you know, 365 people a year to go straight to the front of the line. So that's pretty good.
Oh, I was just... My name's Steve. I work at Southwest Airlines. Okay. I do a podcast called Red Belly Radio.
Okay.
And I was just kind of here, talked to Mark last night, congratulating. Congratulations, you got second place last night in the very first American Idol Experience. But I understand that that's actually going to pay off for you.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I'm really grateful to him, too. That's really generous. So it's awesome.
Well, congratulations to both of you. And
thank you. Thank you for having us.
So see how it works? You can actually, if you're too old, or just choose not to.
Too old?
If you're too old for the TV show.
Right.
You can be, you know, in your 50s, 60s, whatever, and go through the American Idol Experience, even win the thing. But then if you're too old for the show, you're too old for the show.
Right. So I wonder when they say ahead of the line, that's probably to the first round of judges, not the on-screen judges.
Right.
Usually see.
It gets you past the whatever, you know, you see those auditions. There's probably 10, 20, 30,000 people to some of those things.
Right. They're pretty big.
So you're doing is getting to that first round of judges to determine whether or not you'll get to go in to see Randy and Paula and Simon and Kara.
Now, did they have Kara at the American Idol Experience?
No, they didn't. They had three judges on stage, and they're, you know, I don't know if they really have much musical background or if they're really actors, if they're reading off of cue cards. I don't know, but they had one judge who was sort of a Randy character who was supportive, but you know he might have given a little criticism.
So they're real people, not like some kind of animatronics thing, or
they're real people.
Okay,
and then they had a kind of a Paula type character. I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but she's a woman who was very complimentary on their clothing, and you know they kind of played the roles of the three judges, and then the fun one was Simon, the judge from England who, you know...
Known for his criticality.
Brutal honesty. Yeah. Anyway, the actor's name is actually Simon.
Oh, wow.
I have an interview with him. But first, let me tell you about the event. The singers come out. Of course, they have Ryan Seacrest is actually there. And then they have, like, a fake Ryan Seacrest, or for lack of a better term. He's some actor, MC kind of guy, nice enough guy. I mean, I'm not ragging on the guy, but he comes out, but Ryan Seacrest did the old, "This is American Idol." You know,
the only way
that
he can do it, yeah.
And I love how they tell everybody to be really quiet.
you got to be quiet. You can't be making any noise, you know, because that's real too. They do that at the actual.
Oh, it's not like pre-programmed background clapping or anything. It's live clapping.
I'm sure that's live when they really do that. It was in our theater. But they came out and they sang, they introduced them, you know, they sang their five songs and it was, and people would vote. You have a little button in your armchair, you know, one through five, and you'd see their name. You'd see a recap, kind of like they do, the recap at the end of the show.
Does it have their picture and everything? It has, remember?
It has their picture. It's video. It's full video.
Oh, wow.
It's a full video studio. It's just not being broadcast anywhere. And, then of course they come out and do the old, and the winner will be announced after this commercial message or, you know, whatever. they keep you on hold. But what they did was they brought David Cook, the winner from last year.
Uh-huh.
He and two or three of his band members, I guess, they came out and he sang a song. And as it works out, he was leaving on tour the very next day. So it was good timing for him. And then Carrie Underwood comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Huge star. Huge star. Now, I don't want to sound too Joan Rivers or anything, but Carrie Underwood in the parade, she came out. She had this gorgeous red outfit, kind of like a Ferrari red. It was almost like leave it, you know, to a guy to use the analogy of an automobile on the dresses. But she looked fantastic. But see, she came out and sang a song with her group, and then she went into the old Fleetwood Mac song. You can go your own way,
right?
I'm not sure if that's the actual name of the song, but that's Go Your Own Way, I guess, is the name of the song. And David Cook comes out, and they sang it as a duet.
Oh, really?
They sang the second half. It was really neat.
So they're going to do that on every show?
No, they're not going to do that every show.
Just a one-time event. Huh?
How are they going to assemble that group? and then what they started, the same sculptor who makes the Oscar trophies, they hired this person to make an American Idol award.
Oh, wow.
And it's like an old radio microphone kind of thing, silver. Uh-huh. It's beautiful.
So how do you get one of those?
Well, by winning American Idol.
Oh, so you got to win for that day?
They brought, no, the actual American Idol.
Oh, okay.
So they brought, one by one, they brought all of the American Idols out because they had Carrie and Cook, and then they brought
Taylor Hicks, Ruben Stubborn,
right.
Kelly Clarkson.
Exactly. They brought everyone out. They presented them with this trophy. And as Ryan sagely pointed out, I can't believe it took us this long to think that we needed a trophy of some sort.
That's pretty funny.
And he's right. You know, they never gave they give them a recording contract. They give them all sorts of prestige and recognition, but they never gave them any kind of trophy. So they're going to start doing that.
Oh, wow.
And Simon Fuller was there, who I guess he's what the
I think he's the executive producer.
Right. I don't know if he really came up with the idea of the show or if he took the idea and ran with it. I don't know. But he was there. But he didn't even have a microphone on. And he came out and he gave the trophies. And then they took a photograph. And it was the first time all seven had been in one room together at one time for a picture. Now, the next day, they had a kind of a media deal with a bunch of people, and I got to speak with the judge named Simon, and he's actually named Simon.
Steve, how are you? Simon, nice to meet you, Steve.
Is it really Simon?
It is really Simon. I should have brought my driving license.
Well, the reason is you're the judge at the American Idol Experience, who is the one from England who kind of tells it like it is.
Well, we're here to give them the experience, and that I do.
It's all part of the experience. Last night, I was lucky enough to be in the theater, and you could barely get a word out before people were booing.
Yeah, they seemed to judge me early on, didn't they? And it was absolutely fantastic.
A bit unfair?
I thought so, because I wasn't. I was honest. People come to me afterward and say, you know, Simon, I was thinking that. I just can't believe you dared to say it to another human being in good conscience.
Well, thanks for talking with me.
Absolutely. And you look great.
Well, that's a compliment coming from Simon. So Simon actually complimented me on what I was wearing. I think he might have been joking. I just had it was a Red Belly Radio shirt. It was no big deal. But there were a lot of people around. There was a lot of TV this day. So like I was telling you earlier about my picture with David Archuleta.
Right.
I'm going to put that one on the website. You could say that I'm with Archuleta in that we're in the same picture together.
What do you mean, Steve?
Well, he was actually on the set of The Buzz at the time, and I stood probably I don't know, 30 feet away, you know, behind the cameras, and took a picture holding it out of me, and he's in the background there. So that's my picture with David Archuleta. So we had access to, well, I guess I should say, you know, there was a whole lot of radio and TV and me. You know, I mean, I'm running around with my little podcast, and so I didn't have access to the most sought-after idols.
So you're saying you didn't have a big budget because we're the low-fare airline?
Well, it wasn't so much budget as priorities of media size.
Right.
So my listenership of Red Belly Radio is growing, but it's nowhere near the Fox affiliate in Miami.
Let's just give How's it another couple years there, Steve. I think we'll get there.
I think so. Although I did catch up with Melinda Doolittle.
Can I maybe get her autograph? Could you mind signing an autograph for my daughter? Could you make it out to Steve?
Steve? No. I was like, that's an interesting name.
Hannah's her name, but
that was great.
Well, thank you.
My daddy's name is Steve.
Yeah?
It is.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your day in the park.
Tell Steve I said hey.
Yes, I will.
She was just as sweet as could be. In fact, everybody that I talk to, I guess they tell them to be nice.
Yeah, they're all on their blue carpet behavior.
They're all on their best blue carpet behavior. Do you remember Chris Sly?
Actually, I do.
Or Phil Stacey?
Recently read about Chris Sly on the internet. They were talking about how he's starting to get pretty popular with Christian type music.
That's exactly right. He and Phil Stacey, both from season 6, and in fact, I talked to them too.
Chris Sly and Phil Stacey from season 6.
Yes.
Tell me, what did you think about the show last night?
I'm going to be honest. The only thing that would have made it better for me would be Phil Stacey singing Respect.
And they asked me. They begged. But, you know, I was busy. And the only problem, you know, the whole idea is that it's like really close to the American Idol experience. And I have an issue with the fact that there were no technical difficulties last night. Mm-hmm. You know, how can it be like the American Idol experience if there's no technical difficulties?
And you didn't have Debbie, like, yelling at you off stage.
Yeah. They had words up on the back wall.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
That's true. They had words on the back wall. We never had that.
Take away the wall monitors and the floor monitors, and then you get the real experience.
Like, when you can't actually hear your voice, that's the real experience.
That's the real
when you can't hear the drums... When you can't hear...
You have no idea what's happening.
Yes. That's the real experience.
30 seconds later, you're done, and you just don't even know what happened.
And then you can't hear Randy, Simon, and Paula as they bash you.
But when you hear the crowd saying boo, you know it can't be something good.
Yes.
Well, the only thing that would have made it more real for me, for the very first night, it was if they had Brian Dunkelman.
Oh, man.
How cool
they
should have
gotten Brian Dunkelman to do this instead of that guy that's like the fake Ryan.
But he actually did a good job.
No, he did a good job. But Brian Dunkelman, I mean, I feel like somebody needs to throw Brian Dunkelman a bone, man. Somebody needs to throw the dude a bone. I mean, he made that. Did you see that web series that he's working on? It's like Brian, I Want to Be Ryan Seacrest Dunkelman or something like that. Like, it's pretty crazy.
I don't blame him.
He says
Ryan's done pretty well.
He said
for
that
himself.
He made the biggest tactical blunder in the history of the world. It's up there with like Hitler going into Russia in 1945. It's up there.
I would like to say that it really isn't.
in the scheme of things, it probably isn't. But
at the end of the day, that's probably a little.
I'm going to agree with you, but I agree with him too. So you shut it.
You feel strongly both ways?
I do. I feel strongly both ways.
Thanks, guys.
But Chris and Phil, I honestly, I was laughing so hard I couldn't get a word in.
They sounded like a comedy routine there.
They were really nice guys, very fun. And I loved, you know, I don't know who Debbie is, if she's some floor producer or something on the actual American Idol, but he mentioned Debbie's not yelling at you would make it a more real experience. And you know what? If there's technical glitches, we don't see them on TV.
Yeah, no, they do a great job about that. My only comment about technical glitches is when they run over and my DVR doesn't adjust for it.
I've got a theory about that. I think they do it on purpose.
I think they do too.
So make you force you to record that show after it, and then you start watching.
I think they do it to force you to watch it live. So then you
that's true.
Can't skip commercials. Do you remember about the whole Brian Dunkelman thing, reading about that?
Well, Dunkelman, you know, frankly, I actually liked the guy. I did kind of like the very first season. If you don't remember, there was two hosts, Brian Dunkelman and Ryan Seacrest. And to this day, I call Ryan Brian, you know, just without thinking about it.
Yeah, all the other Idol shows that are out there around the world have two hosts. They follow the same general pattern. So most of them follow that same pattern.
You know, Seacrest has done pretty well for himself.
Oh, like yes, he has.
Now, Mandisa, do you remember her?
Oh, Mandisa.
I forget if she was season five or so. Well, I got her interview right here.
I don't recall the season.
You're from season five, and yet you've been, you're obviously pretty good friends with Chris and Phil, and they're from season six. How do you know each other so well?
Well, I know those two because we are all three doing Christian music. Phil, he started out doing country, but he's come on over to the Christian music side. So, yeah, I've seen them at several different events. We've sung together. We've hosted things together. So you get to be friends.
So it's not a post-American Idol club that you hang out in. It just happened to be a smaller group.
Not necessarily a club, but you know, there are only what 80 people that have experienced what we have. So there is, you know, there's kind of a camaraderie among people that we've never even met before.
That's something I hadn't thought about. Only 80 people out of how many jillion that tried out. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it's a good point. I mean, there's only 80. Wait a minute. Is this season 8 or 9?
This is season 8.
So there's really only 70.
Right.
Top teners. And there will be 80 next week.
Yeah,
or
out of however many, 100,000 people that have tried out over the years.
It's just amazing. Let's see. Now, do you remember Brooke White from last season? Oh, just a sweetheart. She was so nice to me. She, you know what? She wanted to be a Disney animator. And as a kid, sent them in a little sketches of her drawings, and they sent her back some books to check out or to go look for, and she could learn how to draw Mickey Mouse the way their animators do.
That's pretty interesting.
But she was really nice when she talked to me.
You were one of my favorites last year.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much because there's lots of good ones to choose from.
What are you doing these days? You got an album coming?
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
June 2nd, your birthday.
June 2nd's my birthday.
I heard that a minute
ago. Yes, and I'm very excited about it. It's going to be called High Hopes and Heartbreak. And for the last, ever since I've been off the tour, which was at the end of September, all I've done was write, just try to get really good songs together, you know, songs that I felt like were, you know, felt like me and appropriate for this time of life and this, you know, for this record. You know, I'm so influenced by so many things, so I think a little bit of that comes through. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you kind of sound country, you kind of sound, you know, it's like the 70s singer-songwriters are like my favorite, from James Taylor, Carole King, Carly Simon, Fleetwood Mac.
It comes through. I can see.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, it's what I listen to, and so I think you're going to, you might hear a little bit of that coming through on the record.
Anyway, she was just an absolute sweetheart. Got a really cute picture with her. Perhaps I'll put that on the website as well.
That would be cool.
I don't know if you know it, but Southwest Airlines played a role in one of the American Idols winning.
Really?
And it wasn't like we flew all of them out there or something, which I don't know if they use us or not, but they should. But I caught up with Soul Patrol himself, Taylor Hicks.
There we go.
And it's a very quick little interview, and I apologize for the audio, but check this out.
Taylor, first animal, Southwest Airlines. You guys probably flown us once or twice.
Yeah, I actually did. You know, what's interesting is, you know, Southwest gave me a free ticket anywhere across the continental United States because I was in Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, I drove 15 hours out of Contraflow traffic out of New Orleans, and Southwest gave me a... I have the voucher. I went to Las Vegas on that voucher, and my brother called me and told me Idol tryouts were that morning, and I tried out for Idol.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, that was during one of the tryouts.
Believe it or not, yeah. Oh, great. Amazingly enough.
That other voice is Bruce Campbell, that flight attendant I was talking about. He was talking to Taylor Hicks, and apparently we gave a bunch of tickets.
And that's amazing. I mean, it's amazing, first off, that we were, you know, able to support the Katrina victims as much as we have. But even more amazing that was the ticket that he used that got him to the audition.
He could have gone anywhere. I mean, he went to Vegas. I could see where a lot of people would pick, hey, I'll go to Vegas. But there happened to be an American Idol audition going on.
Yeah, that's just an incredible story there.
And then, you know, then of course he wins.
He's a great live performer.
Well, you know what was weird? Standing next to him, I don't know if it's his, just that southern accent or the resonance in his voice or something, but I just immediately thought of Elvis Presley.
Hmm.
I never ever thought that watching him on the show.
But, yeah, I never would have thought that either.
In person, I immediately thought Elvis Presley. It's kind of weird. Jason Castro?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, you got time for one more interview?
Bring it on. The Jason dreadlocks Castro, and all.
I didn't talk to Jason. Well, I did talk to him, but this interview was with his mom.
And with Betsy Castro, of course, Jason Castro's mother. Jason got fourth place in season 7. Honestly, as a mother, I think his hair looks really cool now. But when he first started growing it out, there had to have been a few arguments around the house.
Well, let me tell you, that's my creation.
Really?
He came home. We couldn't find someone that would do it. We looked it up on the internet, and I'm proudly the dread mama. So I love it. I love it. It's him. It's so him. It's fun. My husband would have probably protested, but he actually liked it. So we didn't have any arguments over that hair. We had more arguments about pink hair than we did about dreads.
Oh, really?
My other son. Yeah. No, he just asked me if we had any issues with the hair. Are we up to? All right. Nice talking to you.
Yes, good talking to you. Thanks.
I don't know if I should say this or not. She was interested in working in Southwest.
Oh, wow. Well, Steve, that might explain the pink dreadlocks that you're now wearing.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's funny, just that little streak of pink in, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, Jason's brothers. That was a bigger issue than those dreadlocks.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That surprised me. I know that the arguments I had with my parents when I wanted to grow my hair out a little bit, and... here he is with full-blown dregs, which I think took totally cool.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they talk about with idol contestants is you need something to separate you from everybody else. Something that, well, Simon speaks about it a lot. You need that one thing that people will remember when they're voting. They need that extra something.
And blue eyes and dreadlocks worked well. I mean, he got fourth place. Well, anything else you want to add about it? You got any predictions for this year? Who do you think's going to win?
That's going to be a hard call, Steve. Personally, yeah. I think Adam's going to put up a serious run for the money.
See, I like Danny as well.
I'm wondering who the dark horse is going to be this year. There's going to be somebody that comes out of obscurity that you would never think at this point would have a chance, and they're going to come on strong, and they could win the whole thing.
Mm. Allison at 16.
Could very well be.
That might be my...
I think it might be Jasmine might be a good choice for that.
Well, I think Lil's a contender. See, look, we're going through this whole list, and we're saying that they're all pretty good. Frankly, you got to be pretty good just to be in this top 13.
Oh, yeah. Well, like you were saying before, there's only 70 people so far that have made the top 10 ever in American Idol. So there's going to be another elite list coming out of here.
Hey, can you read that paragraph for me?
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2009. Simon has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.
Thank you.
That's pretty awesome. Thanks, Steve.